The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He's blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to give you a short idea on the saint, first reading, psalm, and gospel. Okay, an idea that's worthy of reflecting upon the saint that we celebrate today, Saint Hilaire Poitiers, my French is okay, was an early bishop in the church. And he defended the divinity of Christ. Okay, now, I don't have enough time to give you a course on Christology here, but all of you should be clear, if anyone asks you who Jesus Christ is, for the love of God, know what to say, okay? Because Jesus Christ is the rock foundation of our faith. Okay, the best definition is a catechetical definition, but it's the best one. Jesus Christ is the Son of God made man. Can you say that? Okay, you said it. Okay, in Spanish, el hijo de Dios hecho hombre, if you speak better Spanish, okay? El hijo de Dios hecho hombre. Good translation. So, there you have it. That's the best pithy, short, succinct, concise definition that I know of. No? Most people don't have a very good memory, but you could probably memorize that. Okay, that's why I told you to repeat it, okay? Okay, Jesus Christ, okay, he's God. But about 2,000 years ago, he became man. He was always God, but he was not always man. So 2,000 years ago, he became man. Okay, that is called the Incarnation, which we celebrated on Christmas. An Advent and the Christmas season in a wide sense of the word. So Jesus Christ did not always exist as man. That's why you see it here in the letter of Hebrews, for a time he was inferior to the angels. Maybe you struggled with that. How could Jesus be inferior to the angels? In his human nature, yes, but not in his divine nature. His divine nature, obviously he's superior to the angels by light years. Because he's God. Okay, if you want to impress your friends at a cocktail party, well, maybe hopefully you don't go to too many cocktail parties, you can say the Incarnation is the hypostatic union. Boy, that's really hyperfluting, huh? But it's called the hypostatic union. It's the marriage between the human nature and the divine nature. We call it the incarnation, but the theologians, maybe impress people by their big words, would call that the hypostatic union. Okay, question. Are Lutherans or Baptists, are they Christians? Another question. Are the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons Christians? Good. Okay, why? What? Okay, many things, but especially is that for them, they do not believe in the divinity of Christ. You got that? If they don't believe, in the divinity of Christ, they're no longer Christians. Because the rock foundation of our faith is you have to believe that Jesus Christ is God. And he's not simply a good man or a good fellow or a holy man or a prophet. Jesus Christ is God. And that is billions of light years away from being just a good man, a holy man, or a prophet. He is God. He's God of God, light of light, true God from true God. We pray that in the creed, right? So hopefully in this homily, you have a very clear understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Okay? He is God. He's got two natures, the divine nature and the human nature. The union of that is the incarnation or the hypostatic union. Is that clear? Hello? Okay, that has to be clear. Otherwise, someone asks you Jesus Christ and you give them a confused answer, the person is going to go away even more confused. Amen or oh me? That's an amen, right? Amen. Okay, the responsorial psalm. Rather the first reading. I would invite all of you to read a document of John Paul II. In Latin, it's Dies Domine. In English, it would be translated the Day of the Lord. A wonderful, short document of John Paul II. Day of the Lord. Okay, Google it in. JP2, Day of the Lord, and you've got it in Spanish, English, whatever language you want. Okay, I'll give you a concise literary summary of that wonderful document. John Paul II recognized in his pontificate in the 90s that we're losing the sense of the Sabbath day. We're losing the sense of the Sabbath day. For many Americans, the Sabbath Sunday is almost like Saturday. What do we do on Saturday in the United States? We go to the mall, right? We maybe go see a movie, maybe go to the park. In other words, we're losing the sacred sense of the Sabbath. You heard the book of Hebrews, the Sabbath rest. So John Paul II, he actually uses this word in English. Saturdays, the Sunday is becoming like an American weekend. Just going off and having fun. There's nothing wrong with us having fun. But the heart of Sunday is what? Holy Mass. That's the heart of it. What would happen if you woke up without a heart? You'd be dead, right? Can you live without a heart? Hello? Of course not. So the heart of the Sabbath is the Mass. 1966, in this country, at least 75% of Catholics went to Mass on Sunday. As well in the Philippines. As well as in South America or Mexico. 75%. Now, how many? Maybe 25%. So it's the exact opposite in two generations. What on earth has happened? What's happened? That's a theological problem that concerns me much as a pastor here, one of the pastors. That's a very, very serious theological problem. Can I tell you what, the primary reason? You can give me materialism, consumerism, atheism. Okay, you're pretty good at philosophy, but I'll give you the real reason. Is a poor catechesis in which children and teenagers and adults don't understand what the Eucharist is. Amen? That's the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem. And they said children, teenagers, and adults. Because in this parish, we're trying to follow the teaching of the church, we have to teach adults. I'm dedicating most of my time now. I teach confirmation boys, but I can control them probably best. They can be pretty unruly, no? But I dedicate most of my time teaching adults. What was I doing last night until about 9 o'clock? Teaching 200 Hispanic adults how to interpret the Bible. So I'm just giving talks around the clock, especially for adults. You ask a lot of Catholic adults, what is the Eucharist? They don't even know. They don't even know. That's the heart of the problem. And I'll give you this analogy. Okay, if I were to tell you, tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, if you came into the church and you shook my hand, I would give you $5 billion. Would you come? A man said the other day, Father, even if it were $1 billion, I would come, huh? If I were to tell you tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I would celebrate Mass for you. How's my Spanish? Or my pig Latin, huh? Ig pe atin lay, huh? Remember learning pig Latin, huh? You wouldn't come. You see, because for the money, take the money and run, huh? But for the spiritual, you barely made it to the 8 o'clock Mass, huh? Barely. And the reason is because our belief in the Eucharist still has to grow a little bit, huh? Our belief in the Eucharist, even daily communicants, our belief in the Eucharist has to, what? Has to become stronger. Yesterday I was giving a class and I said, I love to say the 8 o'clock Mass, but I suffer a little bit of desolation. You know why? Because I see a lot of empty spaces in front of me. I don't like that. I'm looking in front of me, and they've got 30 people. We could get 250 people in front of me. I don't like that. I don't like it. So, I'm going to give you a mission. Every month, I want you to bring a new person to daily Mass. Hello? If the Jehovah Witnesses can do it, why can't we? The Mormons can do it, why can't we? Do you want to be beat out by the Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons? Where's your competitive spirit? Don't we have any spiritual athletes here? Amen or oh me, Father, oh me. Go out and bring them in. So that's your mission. So by the year 2018, every daily Mass is going to be packed. Hello? You're not going to undertake that challenge? Are you? None of you are speaking, huh? Where the heck is your apostolic zeal? Where is it? If you receive the Eucharist, shouldn't you go and bring the Eucharist to others? Or bring others to the Eucharist? Hello? You receive Jesus? Bring others here. You know, after this meal, if you go out to Denny's or some restaurant, you have a big meal, you are consuming a lot of calories. If you don't expend the calories, you're going to become fat, gordo. Okay? Not gordito, but gordon, huh? You're going to become a gordo, a fatty, huh? You got to expend the energy. Your spiritual diet is Jesus. That is 1,000,000 calories. You have to expend it by bringing other people here. Amen? So when I look at the church at 8 o'clock in the morning, I feel a little bit sad. Because I see a lot of empty spaces if my eyes are not failing me. A lot of empty spaces there. A little bit less there, and even less there. But there's a lot of empty spaces. Let me give you another analogy. Who is the greatest rock and roll artist in the world? Obviously, if you don't know, I'll tell you. His name is Paul McCartney. Ever hear of him? Ever hear of the Beatles? The greatest rock and roll artist in the world. What would happen if I said, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Paul McCartney is coming to St. Peter Chanel?
Oh my goodness.
You would have people all the way to Carson and McDonald's just to see and hear Paul McCartney, the greatest rock and roll artist, to sing Come On Baby, Hey Jude, or Get Back, okay? Just to sing one of the classics of the 60s. You ever hear those? Father, you're scandalizing me, okay? But what about Jesus Christ? Who's more important, Paul McCartney or Jesus Christ? I didn't hear anyone talking. Who? Do you believe it? So Paul McCartney would have come here. The church would be packed to the gills. We'd have to open up the roof. And here we have Jesus Christ, and still there's a lot of open space. Remember the field of dreams? If you build it, they will come. Hello? If they build it, they will come. We've got to bring them here. So that's going to be my mission. I'm going to try to bring more and more people here to daily mass. But I think the best way for me to do it is to challenge you people who come to daily mass. You see my tactic? If you're really receiving Jesus Christ, you believe in Him, you love in Him, you believe in the real presence, you believe that this is the best place to be. It's your mission by the year 2018 to pack this church. Amen.